Congress did not act last year on my proposal to save Social Security. Retirements on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
And that game starts 6:18 Eastern Time. I'm LP Phillips reporting USA Radio Network News.
Margie Garrison, the arthritis lady. What have I told you about the time she was thrown out of an arthritis convention for telling the truth that most arthritis sufferers attending that convention didn't need the expensive and maybe dangerous drugs and treatments they were being sold? Men alive, did they hustle her out of there? This might not have school for everybody, but if you get Mrs. Garrison's program and give it a try for a year and it doesn't end up ending most of your pain, ask for your money back. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. That's healthstarproducts.com. See what the doctors are saying about Mrs. Garrison's program, and if this works, you will have your family.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. This is a Sunday weekly review. All topics are valid, but I mostly want to talk about the State of the Union. President Bush gave his State of the Union address. It's one of those standard things which goes on really every year. And usually the president gives a laundry list and claims the State of the Union is strong and goes to thunderous applause, right? You know how it works. Well, he did it again this year, and I want to take it apart. You know, I listened to this boring speech, so you don't have to. And really take apart and see what the president is saying. So I'm going to play a lot of it for you and do what I can. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, and join in with me, and let's try to figure out what this president is doing, because it was interesting State of the Union. You know, the press called it humbled. Clearly, the president's advisors, Karl Rove, understands that the president has been seen as extraordinarily arrogant and that he needs to come in and show some humility. This is going to be that time. I don't really think he did. But let's go through, let's dissect it, you and me together. Before we get to the speech, though, you got to get to all those talking heads, right? All those pundits that go on and say whatever they can say. And, of course, there was an arrest, actually two arrests, prior to the State of the Union. One was Cindy Sheehan, the anti-war activist, a woman who lost her son in Iraq, fighting Bush's war there. And she tried to have a poster, a T-shirt, saying she disagrees with the war. She was kicked out. And a senator's wife also was kicked out for her T-shirt saying support the troops. And so what happens, of course, the senator's wife, the senator complains. How dare? How dare they kick out his wife, who was just expressing her free speech rights? He had no problem with kicking out Cindy Sheehan. What Republicans fail to understand in all their discussion of freedom and democracy is that actually the content of the speech doesn't matter. Either both sides have a right to express their views via a T-shirt or however else in the House chambers, or they don't. And instead, when you hear the talking heads, listen to how they talk about Cindy Sheehan. They don't mention her son and the sacrifice she's made. No, it seems like CNN is kind of to out-fox Fox. They know that, well, conservatives are the ones most likely to watch this State of the Union, given that they're about the only ones left who still support this presidency. Not only have Democrats long ago understood that this president has been lying to us, but independents as well overwhelmingly think this is a lousy president. So listen as CNN tries to cater to the Republicans. This is part of the pre-State of the Union chatter.
She has become a symbol of a very, very intense opposition to the president's policy. And as I said before, I just don't know whether or not the House Democrats are going to feel a certain sense of discomfort that one of their members invited her.
In fact, I mean, it's been hard to find a Democrat that on the record has sort of aligned himself, because she's gotten steadily more liberal on other subjects. She is threatening to challenge Dianne Feinstein, a liberal Democrat from California, in her race.
Did you catch that? Dianne Feinstein, a liberal Democrat? I mean, I used to live in California, and we always understood there were two Democratic senators. There is Barbara Boxer, who is a liberal Democrat, and there's Dianne Feinstein, a well-known moderate. But somehow, CNN is calling Dianne Feinstein a liberal Democrat. And you see this pattern going on and on. You know, Cindy Sheehan is some radical activist. I don't agree with everything she says, but somehow I can't imagine a supporter of the president who had widespread support, someone who represents a movement, somehow getting this kind of backhanded treatment. Let's listen into some more of this commentary.
Cindy Sheehan was here in Washington, to my recollection anyway, she was arrested out in front of the White House. She led a protest out in front of the White House, and she made very clear when she arrived she was going to stay until she was arrested. This is, as Jeff said, this is her thing. It is part of her protest.
I want to come at a point that all three of you were amplifying a little bit earlier about the level of rancor on Capitol Hill right now. I attended a briefing by Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid earlier today, and he essentially said that we, quote, are living in a Bush Orwellian society where the president might say something, but he does something different, that he is a great campaigner-in-chief, but not a very good commander-in-chief.
Let's just remember one thing.
Where does that go?
Well, there was a time not that long ago, half a century ago, when Joe McCarthy was calling his opponents essentially communists, when racist attacks on other politicians were fairly common. But I think...
Now, did you catch that? I mean, we know what Harry Reid said, right? He said that it's an Orwellian society. And instead of listening to the content of what he had to say and wondering if it's true and analyzing, for example, are we an Orwellian society? Are we like 1984 by George Orwell? Are we in a nation where people are actually spying on each other, where people are going to jail without trial, where we have a trained puppet teaching us that war is peace, that freedom is slavery, that ignorance is strength, that he can eavesdrop on us without warrants, that he can put people in jail, that he can torture people without any oversight? That's the question. And instead of looking at that, what do? They say, oh, an Orwellian society. They use their tone of voice to suggest this is ridiculous, and somehow that's called McCarthyism. That's McCarthyism? Folks, please. If you're not even going to listen to the criticism, how can you see if we are living in an Orwellian society? The emperor has no clothes, and the press, more than anyone, is telling us the emperor has those clothes. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back with Bush's State of the Union right after this.
Ronald Reagan is a great example. They're more polarized. They don't hang out with each other. There is much more of a feeling of combat. And part of the reason is it's a very close...
Every time I'm... Always be differences and debate. In the coming year, I will continue to reach out and seek your good advice. Pledge from America means little. Members of Congress, however we feel about them, I'm invited...
Just by being an involved dad and spending time with your child, you're getting an active role. Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. When you watch the State of the Union address, and, you know, I understand if you don't want to watch it. Frankly, this year was kind of like a rerun from last year. But if you take it apart, if you look at the little pieces that the advisors throw in, I mean, let's be fair here. The president didn't write the speech. The president probably hardly edited the speech. This is a man who is a trained monkey, right? I mean, he is. Karl Rove writes his speeches. Dick Cheney does it. And they pull the marionette strings, and this president mouths off. But when you read this speech, the question is he doing what the press says? Is this a president showing his newfound humility? And as usual, folks, if you want to call in, agree or disagree, in fact, especially if you disagree, I always welcome your calls, 877-528-TALK. So first, Bush opens his speech by talking about Coretta Scott King, truly an American hero, a woman who stood with and by the ideals of her husband, Martin Luther King, until the day she died, a woman who hated everything the president stood for. I mean, I'm sure she is rolling in her freshly dug grave when the president of the United States, a man who has done so much harm, particularly to poor and African Americans, gets up there and praises her as if civil rights is his idea. His civil rights, which went in there and approved plans in Texas and Georgia to disenfranchise black people. A man who became president precisely because of Republican schemes to disenfranchise black people in Florida and again in Ohio. To hear him invoke Coretta Scott King, well, kind of made me nauseous. But think about what you'd do in the audience. I mean, if you're a Democratic member of Congress, are you not going to rise and give a standing ovation to Coretta Scott King? Of course you are. You only have the choice to. And that's why the president's advisors put her in the speech. But let's listen to how Bush began the speech after invoking Coretta Scott King, as he invokes his newfound humility.
Every time I'm invited to this rostrum, I'm humbled by the privilege and mindful of the history we've seen together.
Humbled by the privilege. Oh, well, this is the new president. This is the president who isn't so arrogant as to think that he's above the law. The president who always thinks that, you know, he can do whatever he wants. And is he truly newfound humble? Does he respect people that disagree with him? Is he willing to listen to the good counsel of others? Well, let's hear what he has to say about that.
In a system of two parties, two chambers, and two elected branches, there will always be differences and debate. But even tough debates can be conducted in a civil tone, and our differences cannot be allowed to harden into anger. To confront the great issues before us, we must act in a spirit of goodwill and respect for one another, and I will do my part. Tonight, the state of our union is strong, and together we will make it stronger.
Okay, standard pablum, right? Standard speech, our state of the union is strong, everybody cheer. But did you hear what he said about criticism? It's perfectly fine, he says, to criticize the President of the United States. He sounds like he's reaching out. He sounds like he's approaching all of us Americans and recognizing that in a democracy, you are allowed to criticize the president. And he sounds like he's open to that criticism. Now, this is the man, let's recall, who has town hall meetings where the town is not invited. Town hall meetings with a selected invitee list where you are arrested if you are from the town and you dare to have a bumper sticker on your car that disagrees with the president. So is he really open to criticism? Well, he says later on in the very next part of his speech that he is not. Let's listen in.
Along the way, we have benefited from responsible criticism and counsel. offered by members of Congress of both parties. In the coming year, I will continue to reach out and seek your good advice. Yet there is a difference between responsible criticism that aims for success and defeatism that refuses to acknowledge anything but failure. Hindsight alone is not wisdom, and second-guessing is not a strategy.
The Republicans love that line. They're cheering loudly, but listen to what he's saying. Hindsight is not wisdom. Second-guessing is not a strategy. What is hindsight? Hindsight is telling the president that he made a mistake. Second-guessing, what's that saying? That's saying that maybe we shouldn't have gone to war in Iraq. Maybe we should have gone in with appropriate body armor. Maybe we should have gone in with appropriate troop levels. Maybe we should have gone in not with the idea of occupying the oil fields first, but with the idea of putting the Iraqis front and center. But no. Hindsight is not wisdom. Hindsight is not wisdom. I want you to think about what that means. The president is saying on the national stage, we should never learn from our mistakes. Never learn from our mistakes. If the terrorist attacked on 9/11 because we weren't around, we didn't have enough Arabic translators because we fired all the gay ones, if we didn't connect the dots, let's not talk about it. Hindsight is not wisdom. Second-guessing is not a strategy. And don't you dare hold me accountable. This is the president that's open to criticism? Let's listen on to what he says.
With so much in the balance, those of us in public office have a duty to speak with candor. A sudden withdrawal of our forces from Iraq would abandon our Iraqi allies to death in prison, would put men like bin Laden and Zarqawi in charge of a strategic country, and show that a pledge from America means little. Members of Congress, however we feel about the decisions and debates of the past, our nation has only one option. We must keep our word, defeat our enemies, and stand behind the American military in this vital mission.
Now that was a carefully constructed applause line. I want you to think about what the president said and why Karl Rove drafted it this way. He says, members of Congress, however we feel about decisions and debates of the past, our nation has only one option. Got that? It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you debate. You are allowed to criticize me, but I will not listen. You are allowed to say things, I guess, but not with hindsight, not with second guessing. You can't tell me what I did is wrong. We only have one option. And then he goes on to say, no applause after the only one option, right? He goes on to say, we must keep our word, defeat our enemies, and stand behind the American military. See? Now you have to clap, right? You have to stand behind the American military. The president is saying we only have one option, stand behind the American military. And if I order them off a cliff, we have only one option, stand behind the American military. We must fall off that cliff because the American military is going off that cliff. And if I order them all to commit a suicide, we all have only one option, stand with the American military. If I tell them to commit suicide, we must all commit suicide. You're not going to be against America, are you? To be against the president, he's saying, is to be against our troops. Think about what he's saying, and then think about Harry Reid's comment that the commentators just threw away, that we're living in an Orwellian society. Call in if you like, agree or disagree, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
As we make progress on the road of victory is the road take the lead.
Bye.
begin your free pre-qualification process. And it is called stylish, easy to maneuver, and go anywhere.
And yes, you can get back out there.
So pick up the phone and call Mobility Products right now, risk-free. They're friendly specialists and make it fast and easy to begin the pre-qualification process for your very own Invacare power chair or scoop. You can get yours within just days. There's no pressure, no obligation, no cost for the call. And your satisfaction is guaranteed.
So if you're stuck at home, call 1-800-594-5356 right now. Friendly mobility specialists are standing by.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're going over Bush's State of the Union address and trying to understand what it's all about. He claims, the president, to support democracy, to support freedom, to support criticism. But don't second guess him. Don't use hindsight. Don't hold him accountable. And whatever you do, don't advocate any other option but the one option that he has. And that is follow our military wherever the president orders it to go. Agree or disagree, 877-528-TALK. Let's go to Pat in Carlsbad. Pat, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, I'm doing good. What's your thoughts?
After that State of the Union, that was a watershed for me. I mean, you knew those commentators were spineless, but obviously they're carrying the water. You know, they're hand in glove with the Bush administration. I think, you know, on these shows, it's great. We all moan and attack Bush over and over because he's so attackable. But I think we need to get after the media. I mean, they're the ones that are not, they're supposed to be the referees. They're not the referees. They're the crooked referees. You know, how can we boycott them? Can we focus on them? Because, like, even my parents, a lot of people, they watch O'Reilly. They don't realize how bad these people are. We know because we sit here talking to each other.
Well, Pat, you make a good point.
The word out to the average person.
I'll tell you, one of the things that I think was shocking is, you know, I don't watch the Fox Propaganda Channel very much. Every now and then I do turn it on to make fun of it on my show, you know, to listen to O'Reilly's nonsense and to show, of course, that he's full of it. But what surprised me was that was CNN. That was Jeff Greenfield. That was the resident, you know, Jeff Greenfield is sort of he portrays himself as sort of the philosopher, right? He's the calm guy who knows about Washington, and he's sort of and I'm not saying he doesn't have some insights. You know, I mean, he's right. The country is more polarized than ever. But he doesn't talk about why. He doesn't talk about the Clinton era when they were out to find anything against Bill Clinton. They hated the fact that we were in peace and prosperity, that he was doing things to protect American workers. So they looked for anything. They couldn't find anything wrong in his policies, so they attacked his personal life. And now when the Democrats are saying, excuse me, Mr. President, but timidly, you're violating the Constitution. You know, you're not allowed to spy on anyone without a warrant. That is called McCarthyism.
Wasn't it Chris Matthews that portrayed Cindy Sheehan as just being a gross, you know, a lunatic over the edge?
You know, it's more than about Cindy Sheehan. I mean, look, I can't say I agree with everything she stands for. But it seems to me that you compare her with, say, Judge Alito on the right, a person who sincerely believes that women should be put in jail for having abortions, right? A man who sincerely believes that the president cannot be controlled by Congress, that he can do whatever he wants under the Constitution, and you have to ask yourself who the lunatic is here. You know, the amazing thing is Cindy Sheehan has lost her son, and it seems to me we can criticize her, but before you call her a lunatic, look at some of the people on the other side. And I think you're absolutely right, and that's why I started the State of the Union, not with Bush, but with the media commentary. And I'll tell you why I think they're doing it, Pat. I think they're doing it because they know that most of the people who are still watching Bush's speeches agree with him. It may be only 35-40% of the nation approves of him today. You know, you can argue about whether it's 35 or 40%, but they're probably 80% of the people watching him, because people like you and me, most of us, hey, I have to watch him because I got to report on it to you. But most of the people who agree with me, we're sick of watching the president. We don't believe a word he says, and so they're pandering to their audience. And I think you're absolutely right, Pat. What we have to do is you have to call CNN. And you have to say, hey, you know, either bring on both sides or just don't talk at all.
It's so softball, it makes you sick. It's he said, she said, always.
Well, that
or worse.
That is the way it is, Pat. Hey, I appreciate your call.
Thank you, Mark.
Folks, if you want to call in, it's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. A number of you on hold, don't hang up. There'll be more of your calls and more of Bush's State of the Union interpreted right after these commercial messages.
This is Newsbreak. The consulate in Beirut went up in flames today as an angry Muslim mob vented its anger over cartoons of Muhammad. One of the unflattering cartoons published in a Danish newspaper shows Muhammad wearing a turban that appears to be a bomb. Thousands of angry Muslim protesters throwing furniture and documents into fires and even chipping away at the concrete on the building. The murderous mastermind of the bombing of the USS Cole in 2000 is one of many Al-Qaeda terrorists who have escaped at a prison in Yemen. Interpol says that 23 inmates escaped by tunneling their way out of the prison into the women's section of a mosque. A teenager went in connection
with another attack based on authority given to me by the Constitution. So to prevent another attack based on authority, I think American families will face a massive Social Security.
Folks, try my 8-pound Auric XL risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. No other vacuum cleaner handles hairy situations like an Auric XL.
If you haven't been using Mobisil, you haven't been using one of the most effective topical pain relief formulas on the market today. Mobisil combines a powerful pain reliever with soothing aloe in a quick absorbing formula. Apply it directly to the site of your pain and feel its deep penetrating formula ease aching joints and muscles on the spot. Mobisil is odorless, non-irritating, and non-staining. Mobisil. Rub it in and feel it work. Available at Walgreens, Eckerd, Osco, Savon, Super D, and USA Drug Pharmacy.
A study from Virginia Tech shows that eating extra protein after lifting weights does not make you stronger or give you larger muscles. Athletes train by taking a hard workout that damages muscles, feeling sore on the next day, and then going...
...boom retirements on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. This commission boom generation will put unprecedented strains on the federal government. By 2030, spending for Social Security, if you pass the line item veto, last year you passed bills that cut this spending. This year my budget will cut it again and reduce or eliminate more than 100 stewards of tax dollars. Every year of my presidency, we've reduced the growth of non-security discretionary spending. And last year you passed bills that cut this, reduced the growth of non. Every year of my presidency, we've reduced the growth. This year my budget will cut it again and reduce.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're going over Bush's State of the Union address to try to understand what the people who wrote the speech, of course that's not the president, but what the people who wrote the speech meant when they wrote it. What was the president really saying to us? And how is it that, the press is following it, and I don't know if people are believing it or not. Let me play a quick snippet, and then we're going to go right to your calls, of how he's talking about the war in Iraq.
The road of victory is the road that will take our troops home. As we make progress on the ground and Iraqi forces increasingly take the lead, we should be able to further decrease our troop levels. But those decisions will be made by our military commanders, not by politicians in Washington, D.C.
And what do you think about what he just said there, right? The road to victory is the road that will take our troops home. In other words, once I declare war, and of course Congress didn't declare war in Iraq, that Congress just said that, Mr. President, you are authorized to use force if Saddam Hussein doesn't comply with getting rid of weapons of mass destruction. Turns out he didn't have any to begin with, so I guess he did comply. So even that authorization wasn't valid for him there. But in other words, when the president says, I want to go to war, You have to wait until I declare victory. Even after we've conquered Saddam Hussein, it's not victory until I say so. We can never take the troops home until the president says so. So it's not a victory, right? According to the president's policies, folks, we should still be in Vietnam. And then he says that decisions should be made by our military commanders, not by politicians in Washington. Tell that to Army General Eric Shinseki, who said we needed far more troops than at the beginning, and who Bush organized his firing, both him and the head of the Secretary of the Army, who supported him. So this is a president who's never listened to people on the ground, who's disregarded advice from the very beginning, and now he says we have to listen to military commanders. Think about what he's done. He's basically said, I'm going to ignore you, folks. I'm going to order our troops into a dangerous situation, and now we should listen to them as to how we get out. Well, Mr. President, you haven't listened to them in the past, and if you had, and you were still listening to them, we'd have body armor for our troops right now. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to Chris in San Diego. Chris, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a Marine out in San Diego. I've been to Iraq twice and have a comment, a couple points. One addresses the clip we just heard about politicians not deciding when we're going to bring troops home. And I think as the congressional elections heat up, a lot of Republicans might have something to say about that because they want to win their seats again. And if we don't start bringing people home and bringing the troop levels down, no matter what's going on the ground, they're going to fear their seat's going to go away at the Democrats, and so troop levels may come down below what they need to be so that the Republicans can win.
You know, what's interesting to me, Chris, is that people seem to not understand the distinction, including the President of the United States, between strategy and tactics, to use two technical terms, between the civilian decision to go to war, the basic decision of whether or not we should go to war or not, which I would hope every American believes, is a decision for civilians to make. Well, whether right or wrong, it's a decision for our elected officials to make. And the military decisions of tactics, you know, whether we should attack this area or that area or how we should defend ourselves. No one is saying that Congress should get involved with how to defend our bunker or what kind of military armor we need. In fact, as I was pointing out, the military was requesting body armor way back when the president wasn't looking. But the overall strategic question of whether or not we should be in this war or whether or not we should bring troops home, I would hope that we do believe that elected politicians can decide that. I mean, I think you'd agree.
Yeah, but I think the point I'm making is he's saying that politicians aren't going to be making the decision about troop levels, but because of the pressure he's going to be getting from his own party because of the elections coming up, I think politicians essentially will be making those decisions because they want to, the higher the troop levels are, the more people will see or will feel that progress isn't being made, and he'll look bad, the party will look bad, and so he'll make decisions, possibly foolish ones, to bring people home and put those who stay in greater danger, because by bringing people home, he'll somehow show in his mind, or he'll be able to use propaganda to show that he's making progress, that we on the ground in Iraq are making progress,
Chris,
maybe more so than is actually being made.
You make a really good point, and I actually think, I've always thought this war had a lot of parallels to Vietnam, but, you know, here it is that we need to make the strategic decision first of, you know, either we've accomplished what we plan to do in Iraq, go to Saddam Hussein, declare victory and get out, or, you know, maybe, and I don't support this policy, but if the policy is to occupy this country and to create, you know, America too, with our oil fields and everything over there, and to ignore the greater threats that I see in Iran and North Korea and everything, then we need more troops. But to take out troops just for the political purpose, it doesn't seem to make any sense. First, we have to figure out where our policy is going. And, Chris, I think you're absolutely right that this president is now going to be looking for ways to withdraw troops without saying he's doing it because the American people want it. He's going to say, I'm your leader, and, oh, you want troops withdrawn? I won't do it because you want it. Now, I say I want troops withdrawn. That's exactly what I think we're going to find between now and November. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I don't have much time I've got, but if I could make one more point.
Go ahead.
Briefly. One thing I agree with that he said in the State of the Union is that hindsight is not necessarily
wisdom.
I don't know exactly how he said it.
He said hindsight is not wisdom. You agree with that?
Yeah, well, I think the point I want to make is that the Democratic leadership needs to focus on the future and less more on the future and less on the past. I hear too much from my party's leadership talking about, you know, screaming about the past, when if the Democrats Democratic Party would come together like the Republicans did in 94 and propose a plan for the future, for foreign policy, for domestic policy. I mean, it would be something that they need to give the voters something they can get their arms around and say, that's what that party stands for, and I want to vote for that instead of just saying what to vote against.
Chris, I'll tell you.
The Republican Party is vulnerable with Abramoff and energy and environment and Iraq, and if the Democrats propose something that we can get our arms around, I think the American people will respond to that.
Chris, I get your point, and I half agree with you. I completely agree with you that the Democrats need a platform on which they can stand on. They need to do exactly what the Republicans did with their contract on America in 1994 and say, you know, we believe, and they are doing some of that. I mean, they're lobbying reform. They've got a lobbying reform bill named for each criminal, it seems, that's involved in the bribery, one for Abramoff, one to Safavia, every one of them. And I think they do need to say exactly, you know, what they would do in Iraq and so forth. But what I disagree with you is the idea that they shouldn't focus on the past as well. Future, absolutely. But they also need to focus on the past because I'm afraid of sort of the sunk cost strategy. That's sort of an economic term, but it was our problem in Vietnam. The idea that because we took an action, therefore we must take the next action, and therefore we must take the next action. And, you know, to make it simple, as we used to say in the South, if you're in the middle of a deep hole, the first thing is to stop digging. You know, there are people that will say, well, we're in this hole, we should finish the job and dig deeper. And then the question, the important question, is why the heck are we in this hole to begin with? And sometimes I think people say, well, okay, George Bush kicked the beehive, and now the bees are out, and Iraq wasn't a terrorist nation before, now it is, and now we have to do something about it. But I think when you don't look at our decisions in the past, you are destined to repeat them. And so I really think hindsight can be wisdom.
And not just squabbling.
Well, you're right. There I agree with you. We definitely need to talk about the future, but I'm not willing to give up talking about the past either. Hey, Chris, thanks very much for your call. Folks, if you want to call in, it's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop and Bush's State of the Union right after this.
It's bad enough if you suffer asthma, but as a parent, the agony of watching your child struggling for breath must be agony beyond measure. What if there was a natural, effective, drug-free answer to asthma? You'd want to know, wouldn't you? Well, I've been reading up on a little-known clinical trial at a major hospital that suggests you can be rid of asthma, asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms to breathe easily, calmly, and in a more natural, relaxed way. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. You've got 90 days to decide if this program works for you. If it doesn't, you get your money back. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath, sour, bitter taste, and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call for your free copy of the Bad Breath Bible while supplies last. You'll also receive free TheraBreath samples, an amazing line of products that completely eliminates bad breath. Call for your free samples now. 800-517-9885. 800-517-9885. That's 800-517-9885.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about the choreographed affair that is always the President's State of the Union. And this one, of course, is more choreographed than most. At least President Bill Clinton actually wrote his State of the Union addresses. I'm sure he got drafts from various individuals, but clearly he put his mark on it. This is a guy, an intelligent president, who wanted his State of the Unions to stand for what he wanted them to stand for. And even in the midst of the Lewinsky scandal in 1998, his ratings actually went up, far up, after his State of the Union address. But Bush Bush is using what Karl Rove or Peggy Noonan, whoever's writing his speech, is using, and that is the same old dodge that really, frankly, Big Brother of George Orwell uses, or that the Communist Party uses, or that Saddam Hussein used, Kim Jong-il. If you are against me, if you disagree with me, the president, then you hate your country. You're against the military. Right? The only option is my option. And my option is to support our troops. And if you disagree with my decisions as president, you don't support our troops. You don't support our brave men and women who are trying, struggling to pursue a policy that the president put them on. In other words, if I order them off a cliff, you are to support them in going off that cliff, and you're not to criticize me. And how does he do that? He does it the same way, heck, Ronald Reagan used to do, right? You put someone in the audience, and you show them, through the person in the audience, you show Americans what you're talking about. And so this is a guy, the president of the United States, he's not going to talk about Cindy Sheehan, right, who lost her son in a war. No, of course not. He's going to put someone else in the audience, Staff Sergeant Dan Clay's wife, Lisa, and his mom and dad, Sarah, Joe, and Bud. Sergeant Dan Clay also died, one of the more than 2,200 now that have died trying to pursue the president's policy in Iraq. And he has them stand up as if to say, if you don't agree with me, their lives are in vain. They died in vain. And that was the same argument made in Vietnam. 50,000 people have died, they said, in Vietnam. And if you don't continue the war forever, or at least for the foreseeable future, all those lives will have died in vain. Well, sometimes you have to look at a sunk cost. You have to say, you know what? Yes, 2,250 Americans have died in Iraq. 50,000 died in Vietnam. But that doesn't mean we have to let more die. That means we have to stop it before more die. As John Kerry once said, how'd you like to be the last guy to die for a mistake? 877-528-TALK. Let's go to Gordon in Michigan, who I know is a Vietnam vet. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. There was a good show on PBS today on the Now program, and it was concerning the administration's contrived use of pre-war intelligence, and most of the information came from former chief of staff under Colin Powell. I'm not sure what his name is.
Lawrence Wilkerson.
Something like that?
Lawrence Wilkerson.
Wilkerson, yeah. Well, he just came right out of the box and laid it on the line, and it just told the story over and over again, and it just came out with it just gave the impression of this. Well, you know, I have to say it's a contrived malevolence.
He called it a cabal. Lawrence Wilkerson, you got the chief of staff under Colin Powell talking about a cabal of Don Rumsfeld and Condoleezza Rice and Cheney and Wolfowitz. And what does he mean by a cabal? What he means is a small group of people working in secret to control U.S. policy. These are people who, when information came to them that said Iraq doesn't have nuclear weapons, Iraq is not a threat, they said, we're not bringing that to the president. And when they couldn't find anything, they would go down and say, hey, look through these million pieces of data and find me anything that could possibly justify what we already want to do. And so they find a German agent, you know, named Curveball, who the Germans say can't be trusted, who once worked in the Iraq nuclear plant 15 years ago but hasn't in the last 10 years. Okay, we'll use him. Or actually, what's interesting, and I think what will eventually come out in the history books, Gordon, is that the forgery about the nuclear yellow cake coming out of Niger, I think we will eventually find that forgery originated in that cabal, that indeed the United States government created that false document. I can't prove it yet, but...
At the end of this, show, Senator Levin from Michigan had his hands on some papers that have recently become unclassified, and the sound of his voice, he's thinking, well, you know, as time goes on, there might be, you know, people will become less and less afraid to start talking about what actually happened there, and as the damage goes on in Iraq, you know, I'm thinking some kind of litigation has got to come out of this, hopefully sooner than later.
Well, there is litigation going on. There are actually a number of claims being filed by the ACLU and other groups under the Freedom of Information Act, where the president is required to turn over various information. Now, I can tell you from my sources that they are slow walking this. They know they can't say no. So they're saying, oh, it takes a lot of time to find these documents, and they're coming out by dribs and drabs. And, Gordon, that is the way the government always does it. Remember the Maine in 1898, the Spanish-American War. The Maine was not blown up by the Spanish, by the way. It was a boiler accident, but that was used for Spanish-American War. Vietnam, I know you know well, Gulf of Tonkin incident. There was no incident. Vietnam did not attack us, but it was used by Johnson to get us into war. You can talk about Hitler's burning of the Reichstag. We are going to find out, I fear, years from now, that it was all a ruse to get us into war. And that's why when I get well-meaning people like Chris, and I respect Chris, I agree with him, the Democrats need a plan for the future. He's absolutely right about that. But you cannot ignore the past. You cannot ignore saying, how did we get here? Because those, you know, George Santayana, right, those who do not learn the lessons of the past are condemned to repeat it. And hindsight really is wisdom, Mr. President. One last comment, Gordon. Go ahead.
It's not hindsight because it's still going on.
Well, that's right.
You know, we're not armchair quarterbacking. We're still quarterbacking over there, and Chris will testify unless, he might have to go back again, something dramatic happens.
I'm afraid that's the case.
It's not hindsight if we're still in the middle of it.
Right. And I would ask anyone who says, well, we have to go there, we have to stay the course because we're already there, ask them, should we still be in Vietnam? It's a fair question. Ask any of your friends and neighbors, anyone that says, well, you know, I don't know about the wisdom of going into war with Iraq. Okay, they don't have weapons of mass destruction, but we're there. We have to stay the course. Ask them if we should have stayed the course in Vietnam. Should we still be there today? And how many thousands of American lives and how many hundreds of billions of dollars will have to be spent, will have to be lost until we finally concede, you know what? We cannot remake the world in our image. It's up to other people to use our ideals at home of freedom and democracy, true freedom, true democracy, and that's the way to spread American ideals abroad. Thank you for your call, Gordon. Folks, if you want to call in, it's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back with your calls in another hour of the Inside Scoop right after this.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath's sour, bitter taste and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call now for your free copy of Dr. Katz's Bad Breath Bible. Plus, you can receive a free kit of his clinical formulas proven to eliminate occasional or chronic bad breath. Call now for your free kit. 1-800-297-7907. 800-297-7907. That's 800-297-7907.
I've got a pop quiz for you. How well can you do? What's the last magazine you bought at the checkout line? What's the last book your kid checked out of the library? Who did your basketball team pick in the draft? Who did your kid pick to sit next to in lunch? Name a book on the bestseller list. Name a book in your kid's backpack. Who is President of the United States? Who is President of your kid's student council? Can you name three R&B artists? Can you name three artists your kid studied in school?
Know what really matters. When you know all about your kid's school, you know all about your kid. Not only will your relationship benefit, so will your kid. When kids have parents involved in their school, they have higher grades, better attendance, and more self-esteem. Visit www.pta.org to find 100 simple ways to get involved. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Thank you.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's a Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid at 877-528-TALK. We're mostly talking, though, about the President's State of the Union speech, what he said and what he didn't say. And, folks, if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. But you can also comment on the blog, as I know many of you like to do. You'd rather write than talk, and that's okay. Just go to www.radioinsidescoop.com. And I have a comment from Michelle. She calls herself the gal from Cal. And she makes a very good point. And that is that President Bush worked himself into a lather, talking about the dangers of retreating within our borders, talking about isolationism. And in doing so, he implied that if you're against the war with Iraq, you don't believe we should be involved in the world at all. You think we should retreat behind our borders and not be active in world affairs. But as she points out, I don't know anyone advocating for that. Maybe Pat Buchanan is. But certainly none of the Democrats. The Democrats are not saying the United States needs to withdraw from world affairs. What they're saying is, you know what? There are things more important than Iraq. One of them is a guy by the name of Osama bin Laden who happened to murder 3,000 Americans. Maybe we should be focused on him. Another is a dictator in Iran who's building nuclear weapons, unlike the dictator in Iraq, and has seeking to destroy the state of Israel. There's another dictator in North Korea, out developing nuclear weapons under George Bush's watch. We're doing nothing about him. Another problem is Saudi Arabia, who's training terrorists to come and get us. It's not that Iraq, if we don't support the war there, that we don't support putting troops outside our borders at all, we don't support international plans at all. The answer is, should our entire foreign policy be remaking the country of Iraq, or do we have other things that maybe we need to focus on? 877-528-TALK. Let's go to Jack in San Diego. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Do you have a minute and I'll give you the real state of the union?
Go right ahead.
Our government and citizens are carrying record levels of debt.
True.
We're running a negative savings rate.
True.
We've lost almost all of our manufacturing.
True.
Our addiction to oil is being fed by corporate pushers.
True.
We've left ourselves open to economic blackmail. Our military is overextended as it propels a new American empire instead of defending a republic. Inflation is out of control. The ability of our citizens to afford housing, health care, and even gasoline is at a breaking point. We now live in a new world order where the new economy is war, pornography, and gambling, and we have no expectation of privacy as we move ever closer to a police state.
And don't forget abortion and homosexuality. But okay, other than that, I agree with you.
But anyway, that's the real state of the union, in my opinion.
Well, you're absolutely right. And my question for you, Jack, is why couldn't Tim Kaine, the governor of Virginia, and I happen to like the guy, I think he'll be a good governor in Virginia, why couldn't he say it in just the way you said it? Do you think, I think the Democrats are running scared. They think that if they attack the president head on instead of sideways, that there's going to be a counter reaction. They think that, okay, we got to reach for the middle, and the middle's skittish, so we can't attack him real strong. We've already got the liberals. We already know that, hey, the country is fed up with corruption. We're going to win anyway. And so they're afraid to use the very straight talk that you just used. And
well,
I
look,
think
I'm
they're
concerned.
Wrong.
I am concerned about how the Democrats seem to roll over time after time again. And sometimes I think with the way this president and his administration is abusing our secrets and our technology and our eavesdropping ability, that maybe they're not using this to blackmail some of our Democratic leaders.
Jack, you gave me a great segue into the next hour, because beginning the next hour, I want to play a part from Bush's State of the Union speech where he defends the legality of eavesdropping on American citizens. Now, remember, he lied to us about it. He didn't tell us about it before, and now he claims the thing is legal. I'm going to further dissect that in the next hour. So, Jack, thank you for your call, and thank you for giving us a nice segue into the next hour. Folks, if you want to call in, 877-528-8255, 877-528-TALK. Agree or disagree, we want to hear your words right here on the Inside Scoop. We'll be right back.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, It will help a lot. It will help much. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dan.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
USA Radio Network News. I'm Jack DeRay reporting.
I'm frankly surprised and happy about the fact that the UN has taken forceful steps.
The new House Majority Leader says that Iran is beginning to heed the warnings of the United Nations. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, John Boehner of Ohio saying it has been a while since the UN was firm when nations violated their provisions. Boehner says diplomatic efforts are still available and any military action against Iran is not yet appropriate.
I think that's premature. I think these diplomatic efforts have gone well and I hope they continue to go well.
Meantime, the new Saudi ambassador to the U.S. expects those terrorists who escaped from a Yemen prison will be caught. He told CNN's Late Edition they have nowhere to go. 23 convicted al-Qaeda terrorists are free after tunneling their way out of a jail in Yemen.
The tax relief is set to expire in the next few years. Congress did not act last year on my proposal to save
Social Security. In Beirut went up in flames today as an angry mob of Muslim thugs vented their anger over cartoons of Mohammed.
Centralizing more power in Washington and increasing taxes. We hear claims that immigrants are somehow bad for the economy. A better path. An agenda for a nation that competes with confidence. Intend to shape it. Keeping America competitive begins with keeping our economy growing. Massive tax increase. They do not on security discretionary spending. And last year you passed bills that cut this spending. This year my budget will cut it again and reduce or eliminate more than 140 programs. This year you passed bills that cut this spending. That are performing poorly or not fulfilling essential priorities. By passing these reforms, we will save the American taxpayer another $14 billion next year and stay on track to cut the deficit in half by 2009. Bills that cut this spending. '70s. Welfare cases have dropped by more than half over the past decade. The best way to break this addiction is through technology. But we cannot afford to be complacent. In a dynamic world economy, even though this economy could not function without them, if you pass has left 800 and Congress did not act last year on factory jobs in America is related to global trade, and we want people everywhere to buy lures. We will strengthen health savings accounts, making sure individuals and small business employees can buy insurance with the same advantages that people working for big businesses now get. We will do more to make this coverage portable so workers can switch jobs without having to worry about losing their health insurance. ...1,500 American counties, the Congress to pass medical liability reform this year.
This is the speech I would expect him to get here.
Temporary job, 2020, Middle Eastern oil, a thing of the past. move beyond a petroleum-based economy and make gold to replace more than 75% of our oil imports from the Middle East. Our goal is to make this new kind of ethanol practical and power our automobiles. We will increase our gas more in zero emission, and here we have a serious problem. America is... America competitive requires America competitive. Keeping America competitive requires affordable energy. American Competitiveness Initiative, and together we will show the world what the American people can achieve. Wise policies such as welfare reform, drug education, and support for abstinence. Yet many Americans, especially parents, still have deep concerns about the direction of our culture. As we make progress on the ground and Iraqi forces, so to prevent another...
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Inside Scoop. This is a Sunday weekly review. All topics are valid. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. And there are a lot of things to talk about. Let's talk about Judge Alito becoming Justice Alito and how the Democrats, even though virtually all of them voted against him, and even though he had 42 no votes, enough, by the way, to stop a filibuster, why didn't a filibuster take place? The Democrats, of course, decided to hold their weapon, and I understand somewhat why they did it. They decided to, if a Democrat became president, they didn't want Republicans to use the same weapon. But is that a good strategy for the Democratic Party? If not filibustering Alito, when should we have done a filibuster? Or we could talk about John Boehner, the new Republican leader, who's going to replace Tom DeLay, a guy who used bribes as an ordinary course of business. A guy who, for him, bribing lobbyists and having lobbyists bribe him was just part of the way he did work. And calling the Department of Homeland Security to track down wayward Democrats, that was Tom DeLay's way. Well, they replaced him with John Boehner. Is he different? Well, what is John Boehner most famous for? Congressman from Ohio. He's most famous for a tobacco bill in 1996 where tobacco was going to get some huge subsidies from our government, which, frankly, I've never understood why we need to give tobacco a subsidy anyway, considering that it kills 400,000 Americans a year. And he took checks from the tobacco lobby, and he brought them down to the House floor, and he decided to hand them out right during the vote. Oh, are you voting to give tobacco billions of dollars of American taxpayer money? Here you go. Here's a nice $1 million donation from the tobacco lobby. Quid pro quo. This is a guy who not only believes in bribery, folks, but he believes in doing it openly on the House floor. This is the new Republican leader. And we've got a president who, in his State of the Union address, is convinced that it's absolutely fine to spy on the American people. Now, he didn't tell us this beforehand, right? We went for years with the president telling us that you could only spy on Americans if you had a warrant, which, of course, is the state of the law. He lied about that to us. And now that he's caught in the act, listen to what he says in his State of the Union address.
So to prevent another attack, based on authority given to me by the Constitution and by statute, I have authorized a terrorist surveillance program to aggressively pursue the international communications of suspected al-Qaeda operatives and affiliates to and from America.
Did you catch that? He says he has authority under the Constitution and by statute. Who is he fooling here? By statute, every legal scholar, including the president's own legal scholars, who told him he would need congressional authorization, the people like Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, who sought congressional authorization to do domestic spying without a warrant and didn't get it, everyone told him he doesn't have it. So will one enterprising reporter ask the president, you said you have power by statute? What statute would that be? Could you let us in on the secret, Mr. President? Because I have no idea what statute you're talking about that lets you spy on Americans without a warrant. Well, what about the Constitution? The president says he has power under the Constitution to spy on American citizens. Similarly, I guess, to the power the East German officials had to spy on the East Germans. What is that power under the Constitution? Well, the only power under the Constitution the president has is as commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy. And it expressly says that Congress, in the Constitution, has the right to regulate that same Army and that same Navy. And, of course, the Supreme Court has said that when Congress says the president cannot act, as they did in the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the president can only act if he has a power that Congress doesn't have in the Constitution. In other words, folks, to boil it down as a constitutional lawyer, there is no clearer evidence that the president has no power by Constitution and no power by the statute to spy on American citizens. He's lying to us yet again. In fact, his whole segment on this is lying to us. Let's listen to a little bit more.
Previous presidents have used the same constitutional authority I have, and federal courts have approved the use of that authority.
That is a lie. That is not an untruth. That is not a misstatement. That is a lie. No prior president has ever used this same constitutional authority to spy on American citizens. Maybe he's saying previous presidents have been commanders-in-chief before, which, if that's what he's talking about, is so true as to be boring and uninteresting. But no prior president has ever used this constitutional authority. No federal court has ever approved it. Because what is the president trying to do? He's trying to spy on us without using the courts, without the court oversight. Right? He's expressly saying to the federal courts, you have no power over me. And no federal court in American history has ever done that. And I defy any of you, I defy any Republican, I ask you to bring on any guests, and I'll put them right here on the Inside Scoop, who can defend to me the constitutionality of the president's actions. I think it is clear. I think it is obvious. And I think every constitutional lawyer knows. This is a president who has expressly broken the law, who feels he is above the law, and is simply lying to the American people. The most egregious thing President Bush said in the State of the Union was right there in that part of his address. 877-528-TALK. I know some of you are holding. We'll get right to your calls. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then...
...fire in the next few years. If we do nothing, American families will fail. Forming poorly. After driving many good doctors out of practice to push for breakthroughs in two vital areas, to change how we power concerns about the direction of our culture. Yet many Americans, especially that try to redefine marriage, they do not expect
murder investigations. Jack Kane is a big leaguer too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for Talk Star Radio listeners, this is a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Yourmorning.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney and someone who actually listened to Bush's State of the Union address so that you don't have to. I'll boil down for you exactly what he had to say. We're going to move on this hour to domestic policy, talk about his tax policy, Social Security, health care, our addiction to foreign oil. But first, let's go to your calls, 877-528-TALK. Pat in San Diego, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Pat, are you there? Pat?
Yeah.
Okay, we got you. What's your comment today?
Oh, great. Well, you know, I'm kind of desperate to hold this president accountable and
yep.
his cronies, of course. And part of the problem is he's been stacking all the courts, and, of course, he's been stacking all of our departments, like, you know, Justice Department with,
right.
with folks like him. So I'm thinking that somebody who really has a beef with him directly, like family members of people who have died in Iraq, should be filing suits against him for wrongful death.
Mm.
And I think everyone who has a direct individual pain to bear, like people in Katrina who lost a relative, should also be filing wrongful death suits against Bush, Rumsfeld, Rice, Powell, who else?
Well, Pat, I hear what you're saying, and I'm with you in spirit. I certainly
mm-hmm.
understand what you're talking about. As a lawyer, I guess I'd have to caution anyone filing those suits that they
yeah.
really have no chance of success, that they can
Why?
Do it for, you know, propaganda purposes to show people what's been going on. I mean, if you,
you know,
if you join
the facts into the public,
yeah, but it wouldn't even get there because the way the law works. And I'm sorry to say that because obviously I agree with your political goals, but the way it works, and I was a California lawyer for many years, is if you file a lawsuit, then they go and they see whether you have a chance of winning on your claim before they even let you do discovery.
The facts are there. The Downing Street memo.
Well, see, the problem is this: when the president of the United States, even illegal, well, I won't say illegally, when the president unethically, let's say that, goes into war, when he lies to the American people, as presidents have done in the past, right? Lyndon Johnson in Vietnam,
well,
a Spanish-American war.
I mean, we are here in the here and now.
Well, I know, but
happening.
The problem is there's no legal recourse in the courts. The legal recourse, the courts would tell you, is to vote the guy out of office.
No. These are direct, this is a direct affront to these people. Their loved one has died because this man lied to them. I would think that the court would have enough facts based upon all the truths that have come out, and then there's all of these witnesses that are there to say so. I would think these people would have a very strong case.
Well, Pat, I guess here's the thing. There are people with cases against the president, all right? If you have been unlawfully, for example, held in jail without trial, Jose Padilla, or you've been unlawfully spied upon, and I've already pointed out there's absolutely no basis in law for the presidential eavesdropping. If you've been tortured by a presidential order, those people actually do have suits, and I would advocate filing them. But if you are a family member of someone that was drafted by the military, well, not drafted, but joined the military and went and fought in Iraq and died, I have the greatest sympathy for that person and that family. I really do, but I just think people need to know that the law is what the law is, and they don't have a legal claim. And I just, as a lawyer...
What about they're even not allowed to wear the body armor that their loved ones have sent to
them?
Now,
that's different. That's a political point, but it's a very strong
political point. I don't consider this political.
Well, they need to put it on. Well, I'll tell you where they would have a lawsuit, an interesting lawsuit. If they put on the body armor and their commander said, son, you got to take that body armor off. It's not allowed. And they said, I'm going to refuse to take off the... I'm going to disobey your order because it's suicidal. I'm going to keep my body armor. And then the guy put him in the brig, saying, hey, you disobeyed a direct order. That would be interesting. But even that, I'm afraid, would make great political points. And I'm not saying it wouldn't make great political points. It would. But it's not a legal point.
Some way, we have to get it behind into that chink of armor that this president has set up around himself. And I would think that some suits would be successful.
Well, some are. I tell you what's doing really well. Well is a matter of degree. But the Freedom of Information Act suits, which you have a right to know what the government's doing. And you do have it's an incredible right. This came in the 1970s during a lot of the reforms of the Democratic Congress after Watergate. And you have rights to know what the government is doing. And, for example, Freedom of Information Act suits have found out how much we've tortured people. How much the president's orders, in fact, told us to torture people, how many people we've killed in American prisons, in prisoner of war camps. Freedom of Information Act has discovered a lot of the intelligence the president used. I mean, these kinds of lawsuits can succeed. I just don't want to give... You know, I guess part of the problem is having worked in Congress and having worked as a lawyer, I can see that there's certain avenues that are effective and certain avenues that are less effective. And it's not that I don't agree with where you stand, Pat. You know, I support your goals. But
the problem is that Congress is not going to hold this president accountable. They've made it patently clear with their rubber stamping of everything.
Here's
the
deal, Pat.
Does.
If you elect a Democratic Congress in November 2006...
You can't because they're controlling the machine.
Well, you're right about that, too.
The secretaries of state with their corrupt officials.
You're right about that, too, but it's not in every state. For example, I know, for example, that in your home state, in California, they threw out the corrupt machines. So here's how I see it. We've got to win.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Well, they did.
This Secretary of State we have now, who is an installed one by...
Didn't they in San Diego, didn't they throw out the county officials?
Maybe in the county, but in the state, this fraudulent Secretary of State is still trying to keep them. He's doing everything he can to keep those machines in here.
Well, I agree with you. The first thing to do is to fight for the machines. But
okay,
I think
I still would like to encourage everyone to file suits. Because
this
man has to be picked at from every corner until we get a chink in his armor.
Well, that's true, but I also think this. I think if we can get 58% to 60% of the vote... In November 2006,
and you're right.
We can win by enough that they can't gerrymander it and cheat us away at it. And I still think that there's enough of a democracy left, and they're chipping away at it, but there's enough of democracy left that we can win the Congress. And I'll tell you one thing, the Republicans fear exactly that. And if the Democrats do take Congress, I think you'll find they have a whole new sense of courage because they'll be subpoenaing the president's records and finding out exactly what he's done. And there's nothing this president fears more than information about what he's done. Hey, Pat, thanks very much for your call. Please understand, I agree with your goals.
Right.
I'm just
Thank
not
you.
Sure about the tactics.
Well, yeah, I just think every avenue must be
well,
taken and
I hear you.
Now before he has a chance to stack any more courts.
I hear you. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Is the burden of large credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
My wife and I both feel Debt Relief of America is a godsend.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. You will get a step-by-step plan on how Debt Relief of America can help you wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
Do you sell dietary supplements?
If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord, that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the State of the Union, the present State of the Union address. I want to move on to domestic policy and talk about one of the things the president believes in probably even more than the war against terrorism. What does the president most support? He supports living beyond your means. And that's, I guess, understandable in a president who grew up as a rich kid, someone who could spend without ever having to do a budget, ever having to worry about where the money goes. Heck, he was high or drunk most of the time. And so he firmly believes that we need to borrow. We need to make sure that our children pay twice, three times as many taxes as they do today. And what's interesting is how he approaches our huge, massive debt problem. Remember, Clinton had the greatest surpluses in modern American history. Bush, by far, has the worst deficits. Basically, imagine if you go to someone, and there are all kinds of these people around, you know, these credit card advisor people, and you said, I got a massive debt on my credit card. And if they said to them, you know what, keep paying your minimum payment. Don't ever try to pay off the debt, because if you do, you'll have to pay a lot more money each month. That's exactly what the president said, and why he wants to make his tax cuts, which gave us a systemic deficit, right? Which gave us a deficit that we could not climb our way out of, making them permanent. Listen to what he has to say about this.
Yet the cash relief is set to expire in the next few years. If we do nothing, American families will face a massive tax increase they do not expect and will not welcome. Because America needs more than a temporary expansion, we need more than temporary tax relief. I urge the Congress to act responsibly and make the tax cuts permanent.
Big cheers. Big cheers for saying, in effect, don't ever pay beyond your minimum payment on your credit card. So what if the debt keeps going up and up? It's kind of like saying, well, Saudi Arabia has repossessed my house. China has taken my car, but I still got the clothes on my back. Why not give them to other debtor nations, to England or India or whoever, right? I mean, heck, I already don't. 5% of our nation's already owned by Saudi Arabia. This is a president who's literally selling off America to dangerous dictators. And what's his view? Oh, well, you know, we can't ever pay our debts. We can't live on a budget. Living on a budget is wrong. It's anti-American. And, of course, he leads a party that used to be a party of fiscal conservatives. But the conservatives today are not fiscal conservatives. They don't care about the budget. Today, to be a conservative means living beyond your means. And when it comes to cutting spending, here's a president who just bragged about the fact that $880 billion in tax money was given to the richest of Americans, right? Because it didn't go to most you and me, except for $300 that Bernie Sanders, socialist of Vermont, wanted. The rest of it didn't go to you and me. So listen to how he talks about spending, the counterbalance, right? $880 billion in tax cuts. Here's what he says about cutting spending.
And last year you passed bills that cut this spending. This year my budget will cut it again and reduce or eliminate more than 140 programs that are performing poorly or not fulfilling essential priorities. By passing these reforms, we will save the American taxpayer another $14 billion next year and stay on track to cut the deficit in half by 2009.
Now, did you catch that? See, most Americans really aren't listening to the figures. They're just numbers. They're big numbers. $14 billion. We cut spending. $14 billion. That's terrific. But he said it just after he mentioned that he cut taxes by $880 billion. Now, I want you to think about that. Somebody says, all right, your expenses have gone up. You're the government. You have to pay $880 more a month. But we're saving you $14 a month. You save $14. Yeah, you spend $880 more. We're saving $14. Would you trust somebody like that? Would you let them handle your affairs? Note how he says 140 programs. Why is he saying that? He's saying that because he thinks you'll lose track of the numbers. 140 programs sounds like a lot, but not if they're tiny little programs that are being cut. Cutting the deficit in half by 2009? Another rhetoric. Right? He brought the deficit up to record levels. That's like saying, hey, I lost $2 million in Vegas last year, but this year I'm only going to lose $1 million. Aren't I doing better? You see how they throw these numbers in? You see how they trick you? We'll be right back with more of Bush Domestic Policy and your calls, 877-528-TALK, right after this.
This is Newsbreak. 23 convicted
Congress did not act last year on my proposal. We will do more to make this coverage portable.
Sunday, the oil leaked from the Tilken plant in Totowa and made its way into the Passaic. More news at USAradio.com. I'm Jack DeRay.
Does your vacuum kick up a cloud of dust every time you turn it on? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL hotel vacuum never does because it has an ingenious hypoallergenic top-fill design that traps particles as small as 1/100th the width of a human hair. So take the Orrick challenge. Try it free for 15 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. After all, why would you ever want to buy a vacuum that you have to clean up after?
If you haven't been using Mobisil, you haven't been using one of the most effective topical pain relief formulas on the market today. Mobisil combines a powerful pain reliever with soothing aloe in a quick absorbing formula. Apply it directly to the site of your pain and feel its deep penetrating formula ease aching joints and muscles on the spot. Mobisil is odorless, non-irritating, and non-staining. Mobisil. Rub it in and feel it work. Available at Walgreens, Eckerd, Osco, Savon, Super D, and USA Drug.
I'm Joe Graydon, and this is our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network. Children in the United States may be exposed to pesticides while they're at school. A study in the Journal of the American Medical Association reports that pesticides are frequently sprayed in schools to cut down on insect infestations. The problem is that there are no federal guidelines limiting chemical exposure. As a consequence, some children are exposed to high levels of insecticides, leading to illness.
Hostility keeps cropping up as a risk factor for heart disease. In the latest study, 1,300 men and women were given psychological tests between 1985 and 1989, and then followed up for roughly 14 years. Those who were cynical and suspicious of other people were far more likely to die in middle age than those who were more trusting and optimistic. This is Terry Graydon with the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're dissecting the President's State of the Union speech. We're moving on to domestic policy. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Agree or disagree, I welcome your calls. Before the break, we were talking about the massive debt we're in, the largest by far in American history, and how the president is bragging about the tax cuts, saying we can't increase taxes on those rich people, right? We can't let millionaires pay the same taxes they paid during those prosperity-ridden Clinton years. No way. Now, what we have to do is to cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the kinds of things Americans rely on. Now, did he mention all those contracts with Halliburton, to which there were no bidding, no competitive bidding of any kind? He didn't mention those. Did he mention all that taxpayer money in the energy bill that's going to oil companies, who are the richest corporations, who've made the largest profits in American history and are still getting our taxpayer money? He didn't mention that. Well, how about cutting all that money going to pharmaceutical companies and the Medicare drug bill? Didn't happen to mention that one either. No, he wants to cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. And obviously, he doesn't want Americans to rely on that for their retirement. They don't have pensions anymore, right? And the stock market is not exactly always achieving things. So he wants to make sure that that last leg of protection, Social Security, is out of their way. So he did say something that it's always my favorite part of the speech every year, when he chides Congress for not passing his plan for Social Security, and the Democrats give a rousing cheer. Let's listen in.
Congress did not act last year on my proposal to save Social Security.
Okay, I love that. I mean, most of the presidential applause lines admitted are pretty standard, right? You know, if you don't support him, you don't support our military. So, do you support my plan saying there's only one option, support our military? And everybody cheers. It's always fun to see them, cheer for them not doing anything about Social Security. But it's not just Social Security, right? It's health care. I mean, here's a president and a party, the Republican Party, that works so hard to fight the Clinton-era initiatives to do things like making health care portable. It's a very important thing, the Health Care Portability Act, the one passed by the Democrats and Bill Clinton in the 90s. And yet, somehow, this president is now taking credit for it. Remember, his party was opposed to this kind of thing, and yet he's taking credit for it. And listen to more of what he wants Congress to do on the issue of health care.
We will do more to make this coverage portable so workers can switch jobs without having to worry about losing their health insurance. And because lawsuits are driving many good doctors out of practice, leaving women in nearly 1,500 American counties without a single OBGYN, I ask the Congress to pass medical liability reform this year.
Big cheers by Republicans who are represented by all those insurance companies. Now, I want you to think about what the president said. Medical liability reform. Sounds good. What does medical liability reform mean? Well, it means that if a doctor accidentally leaves a scalpel in your body after an operation, tough luck. Yeah, you know, you shouldn't have gone to that HMO. Live with the scalpel. Don't complain, you whiner. Medical liability reform, and that would mean no punitive damages if the doctor happens to amputate the wrong leg or give you a medication that kills you. You know, the reason we have lawsuits, and Pat from San Diego is absolutely right that lawsuits perform a very important function. I don't think that we can sue the president for getting us into war, unfortunately. We can impeach him. We can't sue him. But we can sue a doctor that makes a mistake. And so what president and the Congress is cheering on is preventing you from protecting yourself from wayward doctors. Now, you know, most doctors are good, and I think most doctors understand that the purpose of litigation is to protect us. And if litigation is frivolous and you want to punish frivolous litigation, I have no problem with that. If someone's got a lawsuit that was just idiotic to bring up, there's no reason they should have brought it up. You know, people die, and if there's no medical reason to think a mistake is made, charge them for the frivolous lawsuit. But that's not the medical liability reform the president has in mind. What the president has in mind is, if a doctor happens to accidentally kill your child, live with it. Get used to it. What we really could do, if we wanted to stop runaway malpractice insurance rates, is to regulate the insurance companies. Oh, I know Republicans hate regulation. But what's interesting is if you look at the claims against doctors, you look at the medical liability claims, you can see that when awards go up or down, it has zero impact on insurance rates. When do medical insurance rates go up? When the insurance companies lose money in the rotten stock market we've had recently. That's when rates go up. So if you want to protect and say that medical insurance has gone through the roof, I agree with you. But the only way out of it is to regulate insurance companies, not to take away people's rights. 877-528-TALK. Let's go to Joe in San Diego. Joe, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, you mentioned that somehow these tax cuts are bad for the economy, but
right.
Tax receipts have actually gone up over $300 billion since 2004, between 2004 and 2005.
Okay, so they went down, and now they go up at an uptick, and you're happy?
They've gone up the last 3 years in a row.
Well, why is it that we have massive deficits that are larger each year?
Because we're spending like drunken sailors.
Well, that's true. We are spending like drunken sailors.
And we have
but we're also not taking in...
That probably is costing a lot of extra money.
But Joe, you agree with me. We're not taking in the tax revenue we did under Bill Clinton.
No, I'm not.
Of course not. All right. So, you know, I wonder about throwing these statistics around. You know, okay, we're taking in more tax money, all right, than we did a year ago, but we're also spending way more. We're getting to deeper and deeper deficits. You know, I'm not quite sure. What's your point?
My point is that the tax cuts had nothing to do with the problem. The problem
they didn't?
Is stuff that's probably the war. Katrina, I think, is the biggest expenses that we've had in this country. The biggest.
But Joe, they're all apart, right? I mean, if you have a budget and you got money coming in, you got money going out, all right? And you have less money coming in, you have more money going out. You go into debt. Now, you could say it's not the money coming in, it's the money going out, but the answer, obviously, is it's both, right? I mean, it's dishonest to say it's only the extra spending. It's also the cut in taxes.
If the receipts are actually going up every year...
But they're not.
How can you claim that somehow the tax cuts are cutting into our income?
Joe, you're playing with numbers here, because
here's
let me tell you why. Okay, there's a certain level of taxes under Bill Clinton, all right? Then there's a dramatically lower level under Bush, and then there's an uptick. I mean, in other words, let's say that I'm getting $1 million a year, and then the next year I'm losing $5 million a year, and then the next year I'm only losing $4 million, and the next year I'm only losing $3 million, and the next year I'm only losing $2.5 million. You can say that, you know, tax receipts are going up, but the point is, you're still losing as a government a lot more money than you did under Bill Clinton when we had the best, you know, economy in American history. So, you know, to say that there's an uptick from 2004 to 2005 doesn't answer the basic question of we have a systemic problem in that we're not taking in enough taxes to pay for our spending. Now, we could cut spending dramatically. I agree with you, and we haven't done that. But to say that the taxes are not part of the problem is just wrong. If they are part of the problem, spending's part of the problem, they're both part of the problem. Is that fair?
Well, wait a minute. Isn't there a point at which we can disagree on what the point is, but that if you take more and more money from somebody, pretty soon they're going to say, you know what? There's no use in me doing this, opening this business, and pretty soon you're actually taxing people to the point where they're not going to produce.
You're talking about something called the Laffer curve, aren't you? By Arthur Laffer, that great economist
about common sense.
In the Reagan years. Well, no, I think you're right. If you tax people at levels of 90 and 95%, they may well decide that it's not worth it.
I think it's a lot sooner.
Well,
now,
but here's how you know, Joe. Here's how we can find out.
85 out of 100 I learned.
But it's not 85 out of 100, Joe. Here's the thing. There is a question, and I had a BNA in economics from Harvard, okay, magna cum laude. I know something about economics. There is a point. I'll agree with you. If you tax people heavily enough, they'll stop working. But how do we know we haven't reached that point? We can test it. We could say under Bill Clinton, there was a level of taxation, and we know this was the best prosperity in American history. So we know that whatever that level is of taxation, whether it's 90 or 80 or even 70, it ain't the 39.6% that Bill Clinton had it. We know that at least at those rates, we still have a functioning economy. Isn't that fair?
I'm not saying it's not functioning, but
it was strong. Don't you think our economy was stronger under Bill Clinton?
Our economy was strong, but it was weakening as he left.
Right.
I think the President Bush pointed that out. In fact, I remember him being everybody's saying that he's talking down the economy.
Well, he was talking down the economy.
The economy is going into the tank, and it was.
Joe, we have to take a break. I hope you'll stay on the line. But when we come back, I want to talk about the fact that under Bill Clinton, every single year, real wages went up for Americans, and under George Bush, every single year, real wages has gone down. And then I want to hear how you're comparing the two economies. But I'm going to give you a chance to talk, and anyone else who wants to call in, 877-528-TALK, right after this.
Can't walk.
I can walk, but not very far.
I can't even stand anymore.
And it gave me no freedom.
If you or a loved one suffer from limited mobility, we have incredible news. Now you may qualify for your very own new Invacare power chair or scooter at little or no cost to you. Call Mobility Products Unlimited right now to begin your free pre-qualification process. Invacare's powered mobility products are comfortable, stylish, easy to maneuver, and go anywhere.
And yes, you can get back out there too with Invacare.
So pick up the phone and call Mobility Products right now, risk-free. Their friendly specialists handle all the paperwork and make it fast and easy to begin the pre-qualification process for your very own Invacare power chair or scooter. You could get yours within just days. There's no pressure, no obligation, no cost for the call. And your satisfaction is guaranteed.
So if you're stuck at home, call 1-800-594-5356 right now. Friendly mobility specialists are standing by.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do you have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see? Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStar Products, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about the Bush State of the Union and specifically about the state of the economy. Now, the way economics works, unfortunately, is if you're not an economist and you start throwing a bunch of numbers around, well, people's eyes glaze over. And so, was it Mark Twain that said, figures don't lie, but liars figure? I mean, what you can do is you can play around things that sound good, but really aren't good. And I guess my problem with my caller, and I really appreciate, by the way, Joe from San Diego for calling in and disagreeing with me, because I welcome those who disagree with me, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to tell them why I think they're wrong, is that he's absolutely right that we're spending like drunken sailors. He's absolutely right about that. But what I think he's wrong is to say that the tax cuts have nothing to do with this. He says, well, you know, receipts have gone up from year to year under Bush. But they're way, way down from the Clinton years. To me, again, it's like if you make $1 million a year, and then suddenly the next year you lose $2 million, and the year after that you only lose $1.5 million, and you say, look, I'm doing better. The answer is you're doing far worse than we did under the Clinton years. And so you got to watch how you sort of play with numbers here, and you got to wonder how things are going there. Now, let's see. We still got Joe on the line, or is he gone?
Here. I'm here.
All right, Joe. I mean, you agree with me on that?
I've got the actual numbers here.
All right.
And receipts.
Okay.
In 98 was 1.7 trillion.
Okay.
99, 1.8 trillion.
Okay.
2000, 1.8 trillion.
Okay.
A little higher, almost 1.9. Then you go to 1.9 in 2001. That was the Clinton years. And 2002, there was two trillion. 2003, there was almost 2.1 trillion. 2004, 2.2 trillion.
I'll tell you what.
Almost 2.3 in 2005.
I'll tell you what, Joe, because I have to evaluate specifically what numbers you have and where they're coming from. But what's interesting to me is you have a growing population. There's no question that Bush cut tax rates. But please don't tell me that cutting the tax rates increased the tax revenue. Now,
I think it caused the economy to grow. And when you have an
the economy was shrinking.
You take a slice out of it.
Hey, Joe, the economy was shrinking.
Slice of the economy.
The economy was shrinking.
Smaller percentage.
We were in a recession. I tell you what, Joe, why don't you email me those numbers or post them on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. I promise I'll take a look at them, and I will comment on them because, you know, I can't really evaluate them right here on the air. But let me ask you one more question before we go off here. Does it matter to you not just where there's more money, but where the money's coming from? And I'll give you an example. If you're in a room, you know, you got 10 guys each making 50 grand a year, and Bill Gates walks into the room, you could say that the average salary of each of those gentlemen is in the billions. But they won't feel any richer just because Bill Gates walked into the room. A lot of the problem with the Bush economy is, yes, there are some multi-billionaires working for Halliburton, the CEO of Exxon, that are incredibly richer. They're just tons richer than they've ever been before. But real wages, the real after-inflation wages that ordinary Americans, the median, the average, not the average, because, you know, average goes up when the rich guy gets richer, but the median, the guy in the middle, the guy who's 50% of the American population, his wages have gone down. They went up every single year under Bill Clinton, and they've gone down every single year under George Bush. So when you're evaluating an economy, does it matter to you who gets the money, or is it your view if one guy gets hundreds of billions, suddenly we're all hundreds of billions richer? What's your view?
Well, I have a hard time with you're coming up with figures that I don't have any, like, my figures, you don't have any proof, but
well, I'll tell you, I'll look at your figures. Send them to me.
If a guy goes out and earns a bunch of money,
right,
he's sticking it under, you know, hoarding it and not spending it and not doing anything with it, then that's bad. But these guys like Gates, you know,
But answer my question, Joe. Answer this question.
Buying things.
Why has the ordinary American
building on our economy?
Okay, but why is the ordinary American getting poorer and poorer and poorer under George Bush? You can't deny
it. That's true. I don't think it is.
Sure it is. Real wages have gone down.
By what I see in this country from day to day and the people I run into, they are not getting there's a lot of very well-to-do people out here that are,
Joe,
that are winning.
I don't dispute that there's some very rich people.
Get in there and work.
Joe, I don't dispute that there's some very rich people that are much richer today. But let's be clear on the facts. Real wages.
Rich people. I'm talking about people that are doing better.
Well, you need to hear the statistics.
I never thought in my life that I would earn as much money as I'm earning.
Well, I'm happy for you, Joe. I'm happy for you. Maybe you're in oil. Maybe you're a defense contractor. I don't know what you do, but I'll tell you this. The average American, the real wages, the after inflation, the median wages every single year have gone down. So I'm glad you're doing well, Joe, but the average American simply isn't. And to me, I think you have to... What's that?
I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about my acquaintances, and I'm not running in a group of rich people.
Well, Joe, like I said, I'm glad you're doing well.
Pretty well.
I'm happy for you, but here are the statistics I'm absolutely certain of, and I want to see your statistics because I have to admit I don't buy them. And you'll send them to me, and I'll comment on them next week. But here's what we do know. Real wages are down every single year under George Bush. They were up every year under Bill Clinton. More and more Americans are going into poverty, and even if the CEO of Exxon is 10 times richer, I have to look at the average American and not just him. Joe, thanks for your call. I hope you'll call in next week, and after that, I'll take a look at your figures. How's that? 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
If you have more than $7,500 in credit card debt, listen to these shocking facts. Debt can ruin your life. A great number of all marriages end in divorce due to financial problems. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will eliminate your debt. If you are drowning in credit card debt, there is a way out. Debt Relief of America can negotiate directly with your creditors to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. Learn how to avoid bankruptcy and get more cash in your pocket. Call Debt Relief of America for a free debt analysis by one of their debt relief specialists. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-936-1264, 800-936-1264. For your free information, call now, 800-936-1264, 800-936-1264. Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, one of the best shows television ever offered. Now you can travel again with Marlon Perkins to the farthest reaches of the globe and study wild animals in their natural habitats. The Emmy Award-winning Wild Kingdom, now available on DVD. Order online at RetroTelevision.com and get 20 full-length episodes for $29.99. You'll see gorillas, elephants, giraffes, zebras, hippos, and more. Also memorable, 3 episodes featuring legendary primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. 20 episodes of Wild Kingdom on DVD for $29.99. Go to RetroTelevision.com, or if you forget, log on to www.TalkStarRadio.com and check out our video store. Save $10 on Wild Kingdom now at RetroTelevision.com. From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left. I'll tell you, I appreciate Joe's call. I really appreciate those who disagree with me. I know it's hard to argue facts and figures over the radio when you don't have them before them, and that's why he or anyone else can send me information. Just post it on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. As for Joe, I'm going to take a look at what he had to say, and I'll talk about it next week, but I have to admit that right now I don't buy it. One last thing about George Bush's State of the Union speech. It's very interesting how he puts different things together. Like at one point you notice he said, there's only one option. We only have one option, and that is to support everything I'm doing and support our military. And then he knows he gets an applause line, because when you say support our military, you get an applause line. But at the same time, you're saying support everything Bush is doing. Listen to how he uses this very strange combination of two completely different things in this next part of his State of the Union speech.
Yet many Americans, especially parents, still have deep concerns about the direction of our culture and the health of our most basic institutions. They're concerned about unethical conduct by public officials and discouraged by activist courts that try to redefine marriage.
Did you catch that? They're concerned about unethical conduct by public officials and discouraged by activist courts that try to redefine marriage, right? They're concerned that we have public officials that are openly taking bribes in the House of Representatives and Senate, and they're concerned that somewhere in the nation a gay couple might be happy. Yes, those are my two concerns. We've got a government on the take with bribery, and we've got a gay man visiting his lover 50 years in a hospital. Yes, those are my two concerns. Well, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. President, if you've got an entire Republican Party that's on the take, that's your problem, that's our problem, that's a public problem, and one we have to be concerned about. And if what two people are carrying on in their private lives, that is none of your concern or my concern, George Bush. Whatever happened to leaving Americans private lives alone? 877-528-TALK. My last caller and one of my favorites is Mike from Los Angeles. Mike, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Listen, I know you're really concentrating on the State of the Union and domestic policy today, but one thing I would like to mention is I'd like to talk about this flap with the Danish cartoonists.
Okay.
For a minute. I'm astonished at the way that this is being handled. That it's seemingly all of these seemingly pacifist countries, the countries that did not join us in our fight against Iraq,
right,
are standing up for freedom of speech. Yet the two countries that were leading the way, supposedly in the war against terror, are knuckling under, Britain and the United States. And my concern is that by palliating and pacifying these people, if this settles down, if this dies down to the point to where everyone apologizes and backs off, then no one will ever, ever, ever say anything about Islam
Let's just explain, Mike, because I don't think everybody knows. There was a cartoon in a Danish newspaper that apparently depicted the Prophet Muhammad, is that correct, in
yes,
a offensive manner, and Muslims complained about it, and they're backing off. I guess my view on it is this, and we only have a few seconds left. My view is that absolutely freedom of speech has to be protected. People have a right to say what they want, and there's all kinds of things all the time. And yet at the same time, I understand any community, whether they be Muslims or blacks or Jews or anyone, who, if you do an offensive cartoon, would be offended by it and would have the right to complain about it. So just to be clear, I support the right of the Muslims to complain about it. But I don't support, obviously, censoring the newspaper. What do you think?
Well, it's not even about complaining. It is about